You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello, dear ones. This is Richard Sald here. What got a very wonderful thing. I must tell you that God loves you. He's got an awesome plan for your life. We're going to see some of the, hear some of the goodness, the great things God has done on the show today. Today we have a guy, his name is Chris. Chris has an awesome testimony of what Jesus has done in his life and the way of healing. You know, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So Chris has a great testimony of how that God's redeemed him. Chris, can you tell us, I heard that you told me that you had an illness and that the Lord intervened in that. Can you tell us about that?
I sure will. I had a few abdominal surgeries that were done in New York City, and I had to go back for what was called a revision. And the day of the revision, which happened early afternoon, the doctor had a laparoscopic surgery, went in and performed the procedure at that point, which is about the third time I'd been under the knife. And so they sewed me back up. Everything went well, they thought, and had wheeled me back up to the recovery room. This is right dead in the center of COVID, which is very important here, I think, for our testimony today, because I was the only patient in the whole wing of the hospital for this recovery.
Goodness gracious.
It was an emergency revision, then led into a...
What's a revision?
It's where they had to move my small intestine on my large intestine so that I would uptake more nutrients. I've had some pretty heavy intestinal surgeries, and the nutrients weren't being absorbed the way they should, so I was going into malnutrition. So that night in the hospital, I was very, very cold. I started somewhere around 6-7 o'clock at night, and I kept asking the nurse's station to bring me in the heated blankets, to the point where I had probably 5 inches of heated blankets on me, and was trying to stay warm, yet I was drenched in sweat. So, but I figured, hey, it's normal. They have to pump you up, do the surgery and so forth. And so, lo and behold, about 3 o'clock in the morning, a figure appears at my door, and it happens to be, the surgeon who did the surgery that day. And he looks at me and goes, "Boy, Chris," he says, "you don't look well." He says, "How do you feel?" And excuse my language, but I looked at him and I said, "You know, I feel like shit." And without using too much improper language, because I don't swear. And he goes, "Oh, my goodness." He said, "You never complain and you don't use that language." And I said, "I just feel horrible." And so he came over and he opened up the... he pulled back the mountain of heated blankets and he said, "Hit your button." And I was like, "What button's he talking about?" And he says, "Hit your button," very, very stern. And I reached over, I realized he meant my nurse's button. And I think we should go over the steps that led to this, because hitting my nurse's button led to two nurses rushing into the room and immediately stripping me for surgery, disinfecting me. And 45 minutes later, at 3 o'clock in the morning, my surgeon had his team there, who was not on staff, neither was he, and saved my life. But
what are the details about the surgeon being there? What's your surgeon doing at the hospital?
Well, this is a directed intervention. The surgeon that I had, we'd been through multiple procedures, so we've grown to be good friends. And through that time, I knew that he went out for runs every night. He lived in a gated community just outside of New York, about 3 miles from the hospital. And he would go out every night about 1:30 to 2 o'clock, and he'd go for a run. But his run had always never faltered, never varied, because of the area that they live in, even though a very high-end area outside of the gates, who knows? So... he literally would run circles around the gated community, and he ran 3 miles every night, and again, between 1:30 and 2 o'clock. That night, he was approaching the gatehouse, and he actually felt something. He just said, "You know, I'm going to go running outside the gate tonight." we're talking years of running in this community, and he had never once ever stopped at the gatehouse. And he stopped for the gate man there and came and said, what's going on, Doc? Well, that's what the gate man called him. And he says, I'm going to go running outside tonight. And he goes, are you sure? And he says, yeah, I just want to go running outside. And so the town that they lived in, which was Westchester, was to the left. And to the right is a four lane, not a highway or anything. It's just two lanes on one direction, two lanes on the other, with the bike path being adjacent to the gated community, which headed towards the hospital. And he says, I never would have gone that way. There'd be no reason to go that way. It's way longer than my normal run. But yet the town was about a half mile away going to the left. You would have thought that I would have gone to the town very safe, very lighted. The other way is just a bike path down this, I guess you could call it a highway. But he said, I was thinking of going running in town. And he said, then again, I got this very, very strong feeling that, no, I think I'm going to run up the bike path tonight. And remember, this is at 2 o'clock in the morning. A man that had never left his gated community, a man that would have run towards the town, and a man that now is running in the direction of the hospital. And he only ever ran 3 miles. The hospital is just over 3 miles from the gate. So he turned to the right and started running to the hospital. And the human body is pretty amazing. And he knew approximately when he was getting towards that halfway point, you know, and he had run that distance many, many times. And he said, you know, I should have turned around. I run 3 miles and get my heart pace where I want it and go back in and go to bed for surgeries for the next day. He says, I got to about halfway point. And again, something told me, keep going, keep pushing. And so he said, I pushed, and all of a sudden, here's the hospital coming up in front of me. It's a beautiful old hospital. It sits up on the hill, way away from the bike path. He says, I get close, and here's where it starts becoming very evident what was happening is this gentleman usually had, outside of COVID, would have 6, 7, 8 people in recovery, surgery, different stages of surgery, recovery in the hospital, very famous surgeon. And he had one, he had me. And mine was a simple laparoscopic revision, not so simple to me, but simple to him. And something told me, you know, I'm going to go check on my patient. 3 o'clock in the morning, never done any of this. And it's COVID. So here's a surgeon in a running suit, sweatsuit, traditional. And he goes up to the entrance that he would enter and to go to the wing that I'm in. And he goes in and hears the security guards sitting there, and they don't recognize him. They're nighttime security guards. Here's a guy in a jogging suit, not surgery, not any kind of badging. And he says, hi, I'm going in to check on a patient. And they're like, no, you aren't. It's COVID for one. Nobody comes in, no family, no anybody like that. And we don't know who you are. And just at that moment, the elevator shafts were right behind the security, and out pops this nurse who actually normally works the day shift in a recovery wing, and says, Doc, what are you doing here? And she had called him by his name, and he says, well, I'm here to visit my patient. And he joked and said, but these guys don't know who I am. And she looks and she goes, he's the big dog around here. I got him. And so they looked at both of them and they said, okay. And so she had popped out of this elevator, was not going the direction he was. She kept going, led him over to the elevator, and off he went to my floor. I was on the third floor. And he hits the third floor button and goes. And all of this goes back to, he does his rounds at 8 o'clock in the morning. So he's going to see me at 8 o'clock in the morning anyways. And I would have been still the only one that he would have saw. But he goes up the elevator and goes by the nurse's station. And nurses might not have been there, but again, one customer, one patient, I guess a customer. And both nurses were there and recognized the doctor, thank goodness. And he walked into my room. And because of him being there at 3 o'clock, I had developed, he had nicked by mistake. I'm a mistake. We're human. Obviously, there's only one perfect being in this whole world, this whole universe, this whole being. And he made a mistake. He nicked my bowel when he was coming out with one of the tools. And MRSA and staph had escaped because we all have that in our lower intestines. It helps break down our food. And I had gone septic by this point.
So you would not have made it to the morning. If he had come in routinely in the morning, you would have been dead already.
I would have been gone. Oh, yeah. Long gone with the pile of 8 inches of blankets on me.
Goodness gracious.
So, yeah. And so, like, I went back to the nurses. Had me literally just poured antiseptic, real heavy-duty antiseptic on me to get me cleaned. Threw me on a operating gurney. I noticed the gentleman who was the anesthesiologist for his team at some point on the way to the surgery room. I had PICC lines because of the surgery the day before still in me. And so he hooked up to the PICC line and he's in regular clothes. That's
a PICC line
that goes into a large vein or artery that is, they utilize it. They usually have one and then a back of one. They use it for IV purposes, but it's a larger diameter line that would feed a catheter, a plastic catheter that's permanently in the vein. It's not like something when they remove your IV, they pull the plastic catheter at the same time. This is one that stays in. It's a line.
You happen to have one already in.
I had two. Yeah, I had two in just in case there was any complications. They do that with somebody who's on their second or third operation. And the anesthesiologist was in the hallway in plain clothes. I said, Chris, put me under. And he knew I didn't like being put under. And he just said, we're going under. We're going in. You need emergency surgery. And put me under. And they went in. And I have the, instead of laparoscoping now, I have the chainsaw wound to prove it. But they cut me from my sternum down to my, just below my waistline. And without going grotesque, again, there was intervention to find a nick that was about the length of, it was under 2 centimeters long. So you have 35 feet of intestine. This was at the last portion. All my intestines had been eaten by the staph and MRSA, which have now been removed. And I'm left with very short, but... if there wouldn't have been intervention multiple times that evening, I wouldn't be sitting here and offering testimony as to my unending devotion to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And
surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life as you live for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Down and worship Him. It's Christmas.